Jeff Gwynn is the author of a new book that takes a closer look at Tombstone and the shootout at the OK Corral and how they both defined our view of the Old West. To write The Last Gunfight, Gwynn reviewed hundreds of historical documents, coming up with a clear view of what led to the shootout and what happened in its aftermath. He says the enduring myths about the nature of good and evil and what Tombstone was really like in 1881 are entertaining, but the truth is even better. Jeff, Tombstone takes the shootout at the OK Corral very seriously. In fact, one of the shootout participants, Wyatt Earp, literally has a three-day celebration named after him in the town. Their annual Wyatt Earp Days is every Memorial Day weekend. And I was wondering if in the research for your book you ever got to attend one of those Wyatt Earp Day festivals.
I haven't been there during Wyatt Earp Days, but I've spent an awful lot of time there. And clearly what they're doing in Tombstone, we can understand from a marketing standpoint. They're selling a very cartoony, black and white, good guy, bad guy version of what happened. And it can be entertaining, but it doesn't have a whole lot in common with the way Tombstone really was in 1881.
You say the popular image we have of the town as a lawless, primitive frontier city just isn't true.
Tombstone in 1881 was one of the most sophisticated, fascinating places in the entire country. It was a hybrid of elegance and some decadence. There were wonderful stores, gourmet restaurants. There were theaters that offered world-class entertainment. Some telephones linking the mining exchange building with some of the bigger mines and hotels. Not long after the shootout, the town council was debating putting in sewer lines along the main street. It was just an amazing place, and it wasn't at all your sort of dusty little desert hamlet that movies and mythologies made it seem since. It was the kind of place that attracted a diverse number of people who were ambitious in wildly different ways. And that really is what led to what they called the gunfight that wasn't really a gunfight in the OK Corral, except it didn't actually happen in the OK Corral.
Your research shows that the gun battle actually happened at several locations in Tombstone, not just at the OK Corral. You also say it wasn't the archetype of a good versus evil showdown, but was actually just an arrest gone wrong.
Very much so. One of the most fascinating things for me in writing this book was seeing how a lot of today's political and social schisms were already in place back in the 1880s. The only difference is that in those days, the Republican Party stood for more government control and the Democrats for less. The town fathers in Tombstone wanted a town that was really buttoned down, law-abiding, that would attract big investors from the East and West Coasts. The Earps represented that. Virgil Earp was the town police chief. The small ranchers in the area, who were avowed Democrats, didn't want any government interference in their lives at all. And the Clantons and the McClories were very much part of that. For one side or the other to win out, their opponents had to lose. And when there's that kind of pressure, something eventually is going to happen. And on October 26, 1881, it did.
Well, so what actually led to the confrontation between the Earps and the Clantons and the McClories, all of them involved in the shootout?
For over a year, the McClories and the Earps hadn't liked each other. The Earps had pretty much accused the McClories of stealing some government mules. The McClories were just appalled at such an accusation, even though they probably did it. In those days, among the small ranchers, rustling was sort of a way of life. Doc Holliday always was sort of at odds with anybody that Wyatt Earp didn't like. And Wyatt had actually tried to enter into a sneaky agreement with Ike Clanton to help capture some stage robbers and killers of a stage driver so that Wyatt would get a leg up in the upcoming county sheriff's election. When that didn't work out and Ike became concerned that Wyatt was going to tell people about their deal, that's when you really got to the point where there was such friction that something happening was almost inevitable. By the time eight men met in a vacant lot on Fremont Street, they all distrusted each other. It was simply a matter of who was going to assume the other guy was drawing first.
And you make it clear in your book that Wyatt Earp was a product of his time, which means he kind of bent the law to his own ends at times, but he wasn't really one of the bad guys.
And that's proven. I mean, it's documented. I would like to make the point that Wyatt Earp was not an evil man at all. He was a man of his time. And for guys on the make out there in the frontier, sometimes they were on one side of the law and sometimes another. Wyatt, in his youth, was arrested for horse theft back in Indian Territory, and while awaiting trial, broke out of jail and for the rest of his life technically was a fugitive. There's newspaper accounts of it that we cite in the book. He later worked as a bouncer in a floating bordello in Peoria, Illinois, and a couple of his common law wives were working girls who simply took on his last name and lived with him for a while. But it's also true that when he was a law officer in Wichita, in Dodge City, he never was actually sheriff or marshal himself. He was always on somebody else's staff. He gained a reputation for being honest and enforcing the law fairly, if firmly. So it's not that he was a bad person. It's simply that there was more to him than just a cardboard cutout.
Well, and it seemed like the types who made the best lawmen in the Old West were, in fact, former and probably sometimes even current lawbreakers themselves.
Yeah, that was almost a credential. Most of the lawmen you'd see out in the frontier had, at some point in their lives, been sort of working the other side of the street. But all these people that are part of the story, not just Wyatt Earp, but the other Earps, the Clantons, the McClorys, Doc Holliday, there's so much more to them. Doc Holliday, for instance, we think of as, you know, a tubercular drunk who maybe yanked a couple molars out on the sidewalk to make money to go in and gamble. And yes, he was an inveterate gambler, but he was such a good dentist that in the 1870s, he won the State Fair of Texas prizes in the competition for making the best false teeth. I mean, the guy actually was good at his craft. Who knew?
We're talking with author Jeff Gwynn about his latest book, The Last Gunfight, which has been called a sort of revisionist history, since it shatters some of the myths of Tombstone and the gunfight at the OK Corral. Jeff, your book ends up giving us a much more complex portrait of people like Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday, a much more complex portrait than Hollywood's always kind of led us to believe of those two.
Well, that's the whole point of this book. Almost all iconic moments in our history eventually turn into mythology. And we end up talking about, what we think happened based on what we want to have happened. And I wanted to write a book that actually had context so that readers, many of them probably for the first time, would see we've got actual flawed human beings in situations where sometimes they do the right things and sometimes they don't. But we're not actually examining a cartoon black and white version of events. The American frontier, and particularly the history of Arizona, is just far richer, better than it's normally given credit for.
I was struck by your accounts of Tombstone in the 1880s and how they differed from the popular image we have of the town. I mean, Hollywood's always kind of made it seem like murder and gunplay were commonplace there, and the arch rivals met almost daily at high noon to duel it out with six shooters. But you say that wasn't the case.
Oh, it hardly ever would happen. And people didn't walk around with their guns in holsters. Most towns, most of the boom towns, had ordinances where you were not allowed to carry your gun unless you were leaving town. And even the lawmen had their guns in coat pockets or stuck in their belts. Tombstone actually was under such good control just prior to the shootout that Virgil Earp, the chief of police, went before the town council and recommended reducing the police force to just himself and two officers. One of the reasons that this was so notorious was that these things just didn't happen that often. And of course, the legend grew because the timing of the event was absolutely perfect for that.
Now, to research the book about Tombstone, you visited Tombstone quite a bit for several years. And I was wondering, what's your overall lasting impression of the town?
I understand what the people there are trying to do. We're in economic hard times. The town's trying to survive. And what they have to sell is basically the mythology. There's nothing wrong with going to Tombstone and enjoying the spectacle there. I mean, when you go to Disneyland, you know you're really not being greeted by a giant mouse. You can sort of suspend disbelief and have fun. But I also think that it's important that we understand the real history. That doesn't mean there isn't a place for enjoying the stories, the myths that have sprung up. But most people, if they actually learn what happened, what Tombstone was really like, I think would prefer the real version to the made-up one.
So what got you interested in writing about Tombstone and the OK Corral?
I'm a product of the 50s and 60s. That's when I was a kid. And certainly I bought into the mythology. You've got to remember that when I was growing up, there was the Cold War, and the world was getting to be a more complicated place. And for all of us, kids and adults alike, it was comforting to think maybe there was a time in American history when everything was simple and cut and dried, and the good guys would face down the bad guys and win every time. But this has been, out of 16 books, my favorite one I've written, simply because I learned so much that I had no idea about before. And I hope when others read the book, I was able to share that sense of not just learning, but excitement about what I was learning.
Jeff, there's an awful lot of, well, colorful characters that pass through the pages of your book. I was wondering, after it was done, if you had a favorite.
My favorite character in the book, when I got finished, and I'd like to point out I started this without any preconceptions. I didn't know anything more about this than watching the old Hugh O'Brien TV series when I was a kid and some of the movies. I was absolutely unprepared for the wonder that actually was Tombstone, and Tombstone's my favorite character now in the whole tale.
Jeff Gwynn, thank you for talking to us today.
Thank you so much, and thanks for the opportunity to be on your program.
That's Jeff Gwynn. His new book, The Last Gunfight, takes a closer look at the myths and the truths behind the town of Tombstone and the gunfight at the OK Corral. I'm Mark Dugan, Arizona Public Media.